Welcome to Eugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Eugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Eugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Eugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass. Today is September the 12th, 2012. I'm sitting in the studios in Atlanta, Georgia. In the studios with me today is our producer, Trevor. Good morning. And he's not going to speak as usual. And our guest is a gentleman by the name of Steve Norris. Steve is the owner and operator of Long Life Strategies, specifically related to long-term care. Steve is a graduate of Georgia Tech, and we've had an interesting conversation this morning about some breaking news about the Atlantic Coast Conference in Notre Dame, but that's a topic for a different day. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thanks.
I appreciate you being here. Steve, as I said, is the owner of long-term care planning or long-term care strategies, which has to do with, I said that wrong, so let me try again, long life strategies, which has to do with long-term care. So, Steve, with that, we want to get right into this, but at first, to start, I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, good. My background, I'm a native of Atlanta and grew up here and went to Georgia Tech. And started the insurance, life, and health insurance business 36 years ago. My primary focus was life and health brokerage. And then about 17 years ago, one of my life insurance clients called and wanted to know if I was in the long-term care business. And I said, yeah, I've been to some seminars, but I need to get more involved. And as a result of that, she told me the emotional issues involved. And she said, you know, she said, the reason I want to buy long-term care insurance is because I don't want my two girls to go through what I've been through with my mom for the last 7 years. And I said, boy, I can feel the emotion in that, and so we need to uncover that. So that's how I got involved in long-term care, and that's been 17 years ago.
If you can, without getting into a lot of identifying specifics, tell us what this individual had been going through.
Well, her mom had Alzheimer's, and she had been going through the Alzheimer's and the care and so forth. And what most people don't understand is when you're a caregiver, it's not, I'm going to drop off a dish or, you know, a covered dish or whatever. It's 24/7, and it's all-encompassing care. And it's not just the physical part of it, but it's the emotional, psychological, and everything involved. And so that's the part that she couldn't deal with.
Yeah, we find, Steve, in our business that in many, many cases, certainly more than the majority, whether it be 60 or 70 or 80%, it's the caregivers that end up suffering, have the highest level of deterioration of the quality of life. It's not the client or patient, it's the caregiver.
Well, that's true. And what we tell people is, you know, if you don't have a plan for the consequences of what the loved one, your loved ones would have to go through over a period of years taking care of you or dealing with those issues. And that's the reason people plan with long-term care.
Tell us a little bit about your company. Tell us a little bit about Lifelong Strategies and what it's about and how you approach certain issues.
Well, Long Life Strategies was branded to help people plan for long-term care, thereby preserving their assets and maximizing their independence in retirement. And we're a brokerage company, and we represent all the major companies, all the big players in the business. And that is changing. That's part of the industry is changing. And companies have come and gone. And so you want to have somebody that's an advocate on your side representing all the major players. And so initially what we will do is help someone go through the process of planning for care. And the first part of that is completing a medical history survey or questionnaire to determine their insurability. And at that point, then we would send their information to our brokerage companies, and they come back with a spreadsheet of the top companies and plans and values, and that's where we come in to help them determine the best value for them based on their objectives and situation.
Who are some of the major carriers that you represent?
Well, the top companies, Genworth, John Hancock, Mutual of Omaha, Transamerica. We've had some big players get out of the business this past year. At the end of December last year, Metropolitan decided to get out of the business, and Prudential got out in April. And both huge companies, now they still have books of business and long-term care, and they're still managing those books. But they made a decision to exit the business, and it was unusual.
Let's talk about that a little bit. And I don't want to jump off the cliff, so to speak. But in to the best of your understanding, why are these companies removing themselves, exiting the business?
Well, because some of the costs of the low interest rate environment that we're in with their investments, and having to deal with the uncertainty of future claims. When they really, in health insurance, if they really can't decide how to price something, they just withdraw from the market and just choose not to participate. And that's what they've done. And I think what they've probably done is they're going to sit back on the sidelines for a few years and then take a look at what's going on and look at their assumptions to determine, okay, should we get back in the business? And they probably will at some point.
Yeah, and you mentioned a company that you represent, Transamerica, which has done this. I don't know the exact dates or time frame, but about 10 years ago, they were a rather large player in the long-term care industry, chose to not be in that game anymore, exited the industry. Now, is according to you and what you're saying, they're back in it again.
That's true. They were out, and now they're back in. So we may see that same thing happen with some of the other companies.
Yeah, I think it's important. And Steve, you know my background. I certainly understand well what you do. I did more of what you do on a group basis versus an individual, but it kind of relates. It has to do, these companies have to somehow, some way make money. And I know in today's world, from a political standpoint, making money is for some reason a bad thing. But the bottom line is they exist for that purpose. And if they don't, then, again, none of us are going to be employed if you don't make money. And what you said in explaining why Prudential has left comes into play. Investments, many, many times, investment income offsets the premium so that the total amount of claims expenditures is less than the total amount of money coming in. It's very simple economics, and people sometimes don't seem to understand that.
Well, that's why we've had rate increases in the business and of course, in health insurance and so forth. We're dealing with those situations. But we are seeing rate increases now. Now, what most companies have done in the past, most of the larger companies, have not traditionally had rate increases on their existing books of business.
Mm-hmm.
What they have done in the past, Sam, is they have stopped selling that particular product, and they've come out with a new product at a new price for new people, and they've kept their existing book at the same price. However, this year we have seen rate increases on the existing books of business, and part of that situation, one is with John Hancock, and
mm-hmm.
mine is with John Hancock, and I just got my rate increase recently. And I'm not happy about that on one hand, but on the other, you have the ability to adjust and change your plan if you'd like to offset some of that cost. But the reason John Hancock is having some issues is because they didn't have their 5% inflation factor protection priced appropriately. And also they participated in the government's federal insurance plan going back to 2000 when they were involved. And I believe it was Prudential and MetLife and John Hancock that chose to participate. And the government came out and encouraged their employees all the way through military and so forth to purchase long-term care insurance because at that time they said, we cannot afford any more entitlements, so we want our people to purchase it on their own. So they came out with group plans. As a result, John Hancock thought that they were going to have a much larger participation than they did. So they reduced the underwriting situation and made it a little easier to qualify for some people. And those people are now on claim. So they're forcing the issue back, and that's why some of those premiums have gone up.
I've always said in the industry, and in the insurance industry has a mindset. Well, let me take this back. The general public wants the underwriter to take a mindset. My house is on fire. I want you to insure it. And from a business standpoint, you've got to take just the opposite view. And those two philosophies don't mesh well. So it always is a balancing act of what's the risk and how much do I have to charge to cover my exposure. And many times what they have to charge is not marketable. You can't sell it.
Well, that's the problem in long-term care insurance. Number one, it's a health-qualifying product, and we always encourage people. And the average age now is age 57 for people purchasing long-term care, but we're seeing that number going down.
That's an interesting point. My understanding, or when I was kind of in your realm, the average age was probably closer to 63, 64 retirement age, but it's moving down.
It is moving down, and that's because people are learning about it sooner, and they're more educated about it, and they understand it. The great part, and so many people talk about, when do you purchase long-term care insurance and so forth? I think the real key here is that you need to understand what it is and how it's going to impact your family, and you need to take a look when you're younger and healthy. Because if you can purchase it when you're younger, you'll pay less. You may pay longer, but you'll pay less. If you add up premiums going all the way to age 85 and you start when you're 40 versus starting when you're 50 or 60, you can see those numbers. So we encourage people when they're healthy to buy it early, and that's probably the most important part of it.
Yeah, we were talking off air about an individual that I know who purchased a long-term care policy for he and his wife, two policies. When he was in his early 20s, and he's been paying on it now for 20-some years, but it's less than $30 a month, and it's a reasonable policy. It's a pretty good policy for $30 a month.
So. Well, that was a smart decision, and hindsight's 20/20. Now, what we see today in terms of plan design and benefits is when I started 17 years ago, a lot of people were purchasing an unlimited benefit policy, and today, we don't sell many unlimited benefit policies because they're so expensive. However, what we're seeing now in the numbers are telling us that if you purchase a policy that's going to cover 5 years of care, then you're going to cover about 95% of the probability. So we're encouraging people to purchase 5 years or 4 years and so forth, whatever's comfortable as compared to doing the unlimited type plan. Of course, now we have some people who have Alzheimer's in the family and things like that who are more comfortable having a longer benefit period. And we sometimes do different benefit periods for husbands and wives. And we also, or couples, and we also have a very popular plan today, which is called a shared plan, where in the past you may say, well, okay, Steve, we'll do a 5-year plan on each of us. However, if the old American way is, those of us guys, we're going to go first. So let's just say we go on care at age 75 and we have care for a couple of years and then we die. So that's 3 years of care that I would have had that I lost as a result of that. However, if we had purchased a 10-year shared plan, then those 3 years that I lost because I passed away would be added to my spouse's plan. Now she would have her 5 years plus those 3 years. So now she would have an 8-year benefit period.
And from a what is the advantage to the consumer of the shared plan? I know what you just said as far as the benefit period, but is there any other advantage?
Well, you also have the other advantage. If you have the ability, if one person passes away, then the other person's policy is paid up for life. And then you also have some other features that are available along the way.
That's an interesting, it's very pointed and interesting position and kind of off to a personal. I at one time took that exact policy design that you spoke of to my parents who were in their early 80s, qualified medically. And yes, it was expensive. But in the long run, they would have been far better off by going that than as we were talking self-insuring the way they did.
Well, that's true. And basically, insurance is a discounted dollar. And if you can purchase it and you can qualify, I've had a number of clients who were in their 70s that understood it because they'd been through taking care of their spouses and so forth for years. And they understood the cost of care and they understood that their policy would be more expensive, but they had some issues, and we were not able to get those issued. However, one of my clients who has long-term care insurance is a only child, and his mom and dad were in their mid-80s, and his mom had passed away. His dad was about 83, and we can write long-term care insurance up to age 85 if they're healthy, and his dad was. So he said, look, why don't we look at doing long-term care insurance on dad? He said, I'm going to inherit whatever I inherit from that, but it's cheaper if we can get a policy issued on him, because I know the care is going to be so expensive. So even at that price, he was willing to purchase the care on his dad at age 83. The problem was his dad was an old crusty guy and didn't really want to. He said, I'm not going to buy insurance at my age, and so we couldn't get it. You can't sneak it by someone. Yeah. You've got to get them to sign the application.
And though this situation didn't work out, go to completion, I will assume, I'll make a statement and allow you to correct me if I'm wrong, that financially they would have been better off if they had purchased long-term care and care had been delivered.
That's true, if they all have care. Now, of course, you know, if you never have care, it doesn't make any difference. But an interesting statistic that we're seeing, well, a couple of things. One is we have 10,000 baby boomers turning 65 every day, new baby boomers. 91% of those boomers have never been asked about their long-term care plan. That's part of our problem. But some Genworth statistics. Genworth's the number one company. Genworth, this is in 2012. There, you don't always have to be an older person to go on claim, whether it's Parkinson's. You know, somebody could be in a quadriplegic or be in a wreck or a sickness or a disease or whatever and qualify for care. Genworth told us this year that their youngest person to go on claim this year, the youngest person to go on claim was age 27. The oldest person to go on claim was 105. So they had had long-term care insurance all the way to age 105, and finally went on claim.
Let's take a step back, and I got so many things I want to ask, but I want to try to establish in our listeners' mind why long-term care. If you can, give us an idea of what the cost is for reasonable care, long-term care.
Okay, let me approach it another way, and that is, number one, what is long-term care?
Okay.
The problem we have is that most people don't understand that it's not covered by traditional health insurance. Mm-hmm. It's not covered by Medicare, and basically you have to cover it yourself with your own financial resources. And what I mean by that on Medicare is that Medicare will cover, if you go in the hospital, they'll cover the, and you're there in the hospital for 3 days, and then you leave to go to a skilled nursing facility for rehab, they will cover those next 20 days at 100%. However, day 21 through day 100, that today currently is $144.50 in copay that they would pay. After 100 days, Medicare doesn't pay anything. Now, Medicare will pay for some visits, but not full care. And so then you have the Medicaid part of that, which is welfare, and to qualify for Medicaid, you have to pretty much be, you know, down to $2,000 in assets and so forth. And there's not a lot of Medicaid planning anymore.
That's real interesting. And I think that I've always explained to our clientele, Medicare or a group health insurance policy does not cover long-term care because long-term care is not medically related. And by statute industry standard, medically related would be defined as skilled care involving the care, delivery of care by a nurse, a pharmacist, a physical therapist, speech therapist, doctor. This is not care related to that. This is care related to what in the industry is called activities of daily living. I'll throw the ball, pass the ball to you, Steve, and let you talk about that.
Well, that's exactly right. And we get to a point where going on claim, let me back up again and talk about the reason we have the problem we have, and that is because people are living longer as a result of good health and medicine and so forth, or taking better care of themselves and on the average. However, there are over 105,000 people in the United States over the age of 100. So people are living longer, which are the consequences of needing caregivers. And Rosalind Carter said in her book, Helping Yourself Help Others, there are only four kinds of people in the world. There are those people who have been caregivers, those who are currently caregivers, those who will be caregivers, and those who will need caregivers. So that pretty much covers it.
That covers 100% of the population is what that does.
Well, when you get down to plan design, basically you qualify for the benefits of care or the money for care And let me point out, you're not purchasing a particular policy that's going to pay for a nursing home or for pay for assisted living and so forth. You're purchasing a pool of money that's going to provide you the option of you choosing where you want to receive care. Most people would rather receive care in their homes, and most people would never be forced to go to a facility if they didn't need to be in a facility. So you get to the point where you need care, and that is you have to qualify by not being able to do two of the six activities of daily living, which are bathing, dressing, eating, continence, toileting, transferring, or you override those if you have a cognitive or a mental situation. And then you would have an elimination period of time before the benefit would pay, and then you would have a benefit amount, and then you would have a benefit period for how long that would pay, and then you'd look at your inflation protection built into the policies or not, and then the home health care percentages. We build our policies around the cost of care in your area that you're going to be retiring in. For instance, in the Atlanta area, we're looking at $180 to $200 a day on average. And so we like to look at 5% compound if we can, because it's about $60,000 a year today, but in 15 years it's going to be about $13,000 a month, which can be a pretty big financial burden for people.
Let's again go back and now talk specifically about lifelong strategies. What is it that you do uniquely that brings the value to your clients? Why, if I were sitting down, Steve, talking to you, and I asked a simple question, why you, Steve, and why lifelong? What would be your answer?
The point is that we're professional, been in the business for 36 years. We understand the ins and outs of the caregiving situation. We represent all of the major companies. We're in a position to help you custom design and build a suite of plan that you can afford and that meets your objectives with you and your family.
And let me, I very well understand this, but I don't know the listening audience, and sometimes the terms that we use are confusing. You earlier said that Lifelong Strategy was a brokerage organization. Tell us what that means, but relate that to service. If I've got a question, who do I go to? How do I get it resolved?
We're the person between you and the insurance company, and the fact that we represent all of the major companies gives you the – we're not just working for one particular company, so we're representing all the major companies. And as those companies change – in the marketplace, we'll make sure we're doing business with those companies that are, have the financial resources to back up the plans.
And I'm going to help you here. I know being a broker allows you to bring multiple products to the table. Every company has unique underwriting issues and principles. I mentioned earlier about my parents being in the early 80s and qualifying. Well, they didn't qualify with everyone. They qualified with two companies, if I remember, and got rejected from about three. So it's important that you can bring that variety of carriers to the table.
That's a great point. And we've been through that with a number of clients who have had issues. Certain diabetes, for instance, that's been an issue with people with diabetes. And some of the companies used to write diabetes are more strict. Companies come and go depending on their expertise. And quite frankly, a lot of times we've found situations with people where they've had some kidney issues and different problems that they didn't really know that they had. We were able to help them understand those issues and help them solve those problems. A lot of times if you have an issue, let's say prostate cancer for men, you can have prostate cancer once you've been through whatever your situation of care is and you've been released and so forth. We can go back and requalify and purchase long-term care insurance. And that's true for a number of other issues, people that have hip replacements and knee replacements and things like that. Once you have been through those issues, but if you've got, it's not one particular thing or two, most of the time it's a combination
right.
of some of this and some of that that adds up to where the insurance companies will not take on the risk.
Yeah, a lot of people, and I know this too, it's usually not one major issue that keeps you from being underwritten. It's usually several small issues that compound, and down the road it leads to very difficult situations. Good. Tell us a little bit, if you can, and I think you alluded to this, and I even asked you, but a story or a situation relating to a specific client that might resonate with our listeners.
Well, the main key point here is to encourage people to take a look at younger ages when it can qualify, because I can give you examples of people that really wish they could purchase long-term care insurance because of their health issues could not at later ages. So I would encourage you to take a look in your 40s when you're healthy and can qualify. And like I said earlier, you will pay less. You may pay longer, but you will pay less. And once you've got – and we've had a lot of policy changes so that we've got different options today than we had even a year ago.
Steve, I know that you have some notes, and I've kind of jumped all over the page here. Is there something relating to you and lifelong strategies that I've failed and we haven't spoken about?
I think we covered most of it. As you can tell, it's an issue, and everybody's individualized, and it's not a one fits all. I mean, everybody's different. We custom design. We meet with people and try to help them plan that's comfortable and meets their objectives on an individual basis.
I'm gonna plug you again because of my background. 30 some years in the insurance industry, 17 in long term care. I will say this, that from a broker standpoint, it's very, very advantageous for an individual to have good working relationships with underwriters. I don't care what anyone says. A broker who goes to an underwriter who has got a good relationship and says, look, I need for you to rethink this. So I know that you're sitting there shaking your head. I know that's a value you bring to the table. I encourage all of our listeners to be cognitive of the idea of this is still a relationship business, even in the electronic age, and those relationships can go a long way when it comes to underwriting. So, I hopefully that helps. Steve, for our listeners who stirred their interest and realize that it's time for them to start looking and doing something, what piece of advice might you give them as they start the process to look for long-term care financial security?
The key issue is, again, going back to qualifying health-wise, the first thing we like to do if they want to send us an email or get in touch is we'll do an online medical history questionnaire. It takes about 6 minutes online, and they can complete that. It's confidential, and it goes directly into our brokerage companies. They take a look at that information and then make some suggestions, and we would get back with them on an individual basis.
You know, interesting point there. And you said a medical inquiry confidential. Is this inquiry identifiable? In other words, if I do it, do they know who I am?
It's between you and them.
And
it's
the
individual.
Company. Okay.
It's not going out on.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Steve, I appreciate it. Good information. I can love to have you back and talk about this because I know things are changing in the industry. I suspect that with the upcoming elections, we're going to have more change. I certainly would like to tap into your knowledge and expertise as it relates to as this thing progresses. For the listeners who would like to contact you, won't you give us your contact information?
Okay, my contact information, my email address is simply lowercase Steve, STEVE, at Long Life Strategies, and that's LongLifeStrategies.com. My website is www.longlifestrategies.com, and my cell phone number is 770-833-3496.
And I'll ask you and have you verify, you cover basically the greater Atlanta market. Is that true?
Sam, I'm licensed in all the surrounding states, so
okay.
We do Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Alabama, and Tennessee as well.
God, I couldn't have passed that many exams, but congratulations. Steve, thanks for being our guest. It's certainly a good conversation. And, you know, these conversations to me always are good because I have such a background in it. But I appreciate you coming and being our guest. Look forward to having you back in the future.
Thank you. Look forward to it, Sam. Thank you.
That's it for today. We once again thank Steve for being our guest, and you, our listeners, for tuning in, and want to remind you that if you want to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, you can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And as we always do, we want to state that if the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.